tonight. 10:50 p.m. in the East. Streaming live on Pride 48. My name is Daniel Brewer. I do not do this. Wait, did I say that it was time for the mix? Oh my God, this is the last show of the year and I fucked up the intro. I can't, no. This is not the Little Fatty Cast. This will not stand, ladies and gentlemen. No, we are a professional podcast here. We will do it correctly. Friday night, 10:51 p.m. in the East, streaming live on Pride48.com. It's time for the mix. My name is Daniel Brewer. I do not do this show alone. I do it with my best friend, Adam Burns. Adam, how are you this evening?
I don't know how to use mixers, apparently. That whole time I was staring at the bar for my mic, and I was thinking, why is it going up and down? I have myself muted.
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. And then you realized...
Rodecaster Pro still shows you the levels, even if you've muted the channel.
But anyway, I'm not coming through your mic. What you're seeing on your, you're seeing my channel volume on your mixer. You're looking at the main mix. Even though you're muted, it's still my volume, channel 9 or whatever. That was watching.
No, but my channel 1 is going up and down just a smidge. Because I'm sure it's what's coming through my headphones.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen on the old Rode. I muted myself for a second and it doesn't move my meter. So it must be a new feature of the Rodecaster
Pro. Or it's because I have it on broadcast setting. There are two different settings for the meters. So maybe the other one. I don't know. We don't have to. Sorry. I was thinking I need a non sequitur
irrelevant thing. People tune into this podcast for these very things, to hear technical mixer related things. I mean, yeah. For God's sakes, Adam, we're called Mix Minus.
By the way, though, if you want to buy a mixer just like mine, go to geekygay.com/shop.
Yeah.
There's a section for my equipment.
Oh, wow.
You'll see the mixer. There's a link and you can go buy one for yourself or you can just click the link and shop for anything you want on Amazon. It's mine.
I feel bad about that because you had sent me the link for me to put into the comments of the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And then I decided on a whim, basically, to buy the Samsung G9 monitor that we'll talk about later. So I basically spent $960 on Amazon. I could have used your link if I had thought about it.
Oh my God, you could have. And so far I've only got one. I need three.
Had I thought about it, I could have used it. The other thing is that our work, as I mentioned on the show, sent us all $50 Amazon gift cards. I totally forgot to use that as well. So, I failed all around on the Amazon buying thing there. But you know, Adam, everyone loves following my trials and tribulations as I learn how to get my big fat ass out on the concrete and run in preparation for my upcoming Disney race in April of 2023. Although I have an 8K coming up at the end of February. But this week, with all the holiday nonsense going on, also a ridiculous fucking cold front came through Florida. I made the executive decision to not increase my run by 10% this week, like I was going to, and I kept it at a minute 50, a minute 30. So I kept it at that cycle this week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So, Tuesday and Thursday of this past week. Sunday hasn't happened yet. That's 2 days from now. Anyway,
I think you were struggling last week. So
yeah, so I kept
maybe,
it there.
You know,
for
maybe it would help you out to repeat a week.
We'll find out on Sunday because this is my long run Sunday. So I'll be running a 10K in my neighborhood this Sunday. As part of my training plan there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday when I run my big 10K. And that was it. I have no extra fun running updates. I didn't have a race. Nothing happened there. Tell us, Adam, though, between the last show and this show, Christmas happened.
It did, yeah. I mean, I just wanted to give everyone, I know not everyone listens to both Geeky Gay and The Mix or Mix Minus. And so I wanted to give a little bit of a Christmas update. We drove down to Arkansas. Well, we had the Filipino party, which I normally don't have a good time at those. Normally.
Because right. Everyone speaks Tagalog and you don't.
I just don't have a good time. But I did. Actually, I had a good time this time. The theme was hats.
Yeah.
Now, the theme was really decorate a hat, and then the people weren't even wearing the hats. They put the hats on a table or whatever to be judged.
Yeah.
I took that as an excuse to wear a baseball cap because I was like, you know what? The theme is hats.
Hats.
I'm wearing a baseball cap. So that was good. Didn't have to fix my hair or anything.
It was like
that.
The theme you were born to. It was like if they had said to me, the theme is eyeglasses. And I'd be like, yeah, there you go. I wear eyeglasses. I'm set. I'm
like,
good.
Done. I mean, I'm doing good. So anyway, I that was good. And then they had, we got there around 8:30 and we needed to leave around midnight. So it wasn't a really long amount of time to stay. So that's good as well.
That's always good.
And then they had a white elephant, which was fun.
Yes.
And they had a raffle thing where we all put in $5 and then they put all these folded up post-its in a jar. One had a one, one had a two, one had a three. The rest of them were blank.
Yeah.
They go around the room for everyone who put in $5 and you draw a post-it.
This is where you came in second?
And I came in third. But anyway, I don't usually, and I won $30. And so, I mean, you know, so anyway. And Mark's the one who put the $5 in for me, so I didn't even have to put any of my own money in.
Here's an interesting algebra problem for the folks listening at home. So if he came in third and he got $30, now don't answer this, Adam. You'd figure that first place is going to be half the pot, and that second and third place, they would split the half, maybe give second a little bit more. So we're thinking that maybe Adam's third place is less than half of the total amount that was raised, because there's no one's keeping the money here, right? That all the money given in went out to prizes. Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
This wasn't like the one that you do at the Leather Club or whatever, where the Leather Club keeps half of it, you know, 50-50 raffle, where whoever, it's kind of a fundraiser like we did at Pride 48, right? It's like, you know, it's a raffle ticket, but we're going to give away half the money and the other half money we're keeping, right? So so not that. So, what would the algebra expression there be? So we know that the third place is $30. We don't know what second place was.
Well, we really don't know what the differential was. So in order to really know the algebra equation, you would have to know like the. But if you were to assume it was half and half, I mean, each one was half. So basically they said, you know, top prize is half of the winnings. Second is half of the half.
Was there $180 in total? Because I'm thinking.
I don't know the total.
I'm thinking first
I don't
place,
even know what the other two
on,
won. I just know what
on.
I won.
I'm thinking first place. No, 160. I'm thinking first place, $80. Second place, $50. Third place, $30. See, I'm thinking it's like, okay, so $50 and $30, that makes 80 plus the 80 that went to the first place. That's 160. That's my guess.
No, I know first place was over 100. So I'm thinking it was 120, 60, 30.
120, 60, 30 does not make sense because 60 and 30 do not add up to 120.
True, but that would equal, I don't know, that would be half enough. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
If it was 60 and 30, then the first place would be 90, in which case then there would be $180.
But I know first place was over 100, and I know I was 30. So
it must have been a more extreme.
They didn't do half and half. Maybe they didn't do that. Maybe they did something else. I don't know what their equation was.
So
we did that. And then the next day we drove down to South Arkansas, blah, 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 blah. Got up early, drove down there. The only thing, I mean, we watched. I had a perfectly enjoyable time. My brother has knocked down a wall between the kitchen and one of the bedrooms and made a sitting room, and it makes it much more wide open, so it doesn't feel quite as cave-like.
Yeah, open floor.
And we were sitting in there. They had cooked, or they were cooking a meal. We had ham and sweet potatoes and all kinds of stuff. All that was good.
Yeah.
And we watched a dog show, and everyone liked my presence. So,
well, to your face.
they seemed to really like, and I got sent photos later, like on Monday, of the nephews playing with the balls that I gave them.
Yeah. So Lamont Cranston in the chat room wants to know, does your brother live in your childhood home?
No. He lives close to it. He lives about 10 minutes away.
What happened to your childhood home?
It was sold.
Okay.
And I think it's been sold multiple times since I moved.
Because I know that when we visit Taylorville, which is where Zach was from, you showed me that last week, though.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Okay, forget
that's
it.
We showed that on the, well, we played with that on the show. It was the hovering ball kind of a thing.
Yep.
But here's the, when I went to Taylorville, Zach pointed out, well, that was the house I was born in, whatever. But they had moved to another house and then they got divorced and then they got remarried and stuff like that. So I'm thinking, is it rare for your parents to die in the house that you were born in? I mean,
I don't know the statistics on that. What happened in my case, first of all, the house that I was born in.
Of the four siblings of the four kids, only two of us can say that we died, you know, that they died in the house that we were born in.
Oh, well, I mean, our house was very small, starter home, what my parents started with.
Yeah.
It wasn't large. Also, when my mom married my stepdad, we moved in with my stepdad. And so my brother took over, was living in my mom's house, but then at some point he moved and sold my mom's house and, you know, that's what happened. And I think it's been sold multiple times, but
okay.
I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know. Anyway, Christmas was good.
Yeah. I had a great Christmas here. Did you have more?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, I had a great Christmas here. I got some shoes that I really wanted. They're like the Nick from Heartstopper shoes, which are Vans, but they're Walt Disney World Vans. They've got a special Walt Disney World 50th thing on them. And we could never find them in size 12 anywhere at the parks when they had them on sale. And they were selling out super fast, like people were putting up on eBay. And so...
Wasn't there a thing, damn Daniel with the Vans or something like that? Wasn't that a...
Yeah, that was a thing. But the... anyway, somehow Zach tracked down someone who bought one of these and got it. Cause I would have been really angry if he'd gotten it on eBay because I hate that shit of like paying twice the amount just because somebody got in line before you.
Couldn't you have just been thankful that he got you a gift that rather than thinking about where he got it?
We have a joint bank account. So it's like the money's coming out of a joint bank. It doesn't matter what he gives me or it's coming out of the joint bank account.
We've never discussed this before. So are you saying that you both don't have any discretionary spending money on your own?
No, I have discretionary spending money, but if I'm buying a gift like that, it's going on a credit card, and the credit cards are paid for out of the joint account.
Huh.
Anyway.
That's interesting. We don't do that. We have a joint account, but it's only for house bills and mortgage payment.
No, so like when I bought this $960 monitor, I have the money for that in my bank account. So it's like I didn't put that on a joint card. I paid for that myself. I haven't paid for his monitor yet. So I gave Zach a monitor.
How did he like his monitor, by the way?
He said that he liked it. I haven't, it's not this one. It's not
I know you got a better one than he got. or at least a bigger one.
I'm not going to spend $960 on a Christmas present for someone else. I'm just not. I'm a cheapskate. I would never do that.
He's your partner or whatever you call him. That should be the most expensive gift you give to anyone is what you give to him, right?
But his computer wouldn't have been able to run on this in gaming mode. Wouldn't have been running on this anyway. I gave him a 39 inch widescreen Dell widescreen. He seems to like it. The one problem that I had on this one, I guess we're going to talk about this right now. So I'm just going to move this up.
Okay, move it up.
Here, and I'm going to move this down to wherever we had that. No, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. We'll do Strange World down there. Okay, we'll move this up here. All right, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of. So the one problem I had with we're talking about the Samsung Odyssey G9 49 inch widescreen monitor. That's what we're talking about. It's a gaming monitor. It has,
which I have, but you had to get the newer model. So you had to beat me out and get the better version of what I got after you saw mine. And make sure that the monitor you got for yourself was a little bit better than what you got for Zach, so that you have the best monitor of the three of us.
So it's a gaming monitor, right? So if you think about it, now this is a very wide monitor. It's probably, what would you say, Adam? About like 3.5 feet wide from end to end?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Probably.
It's a nice size monitor, and it wraps. So of course, when you play a video game, it kind of wraps around, you know, it's like, it's in your peripheral as well as right in front of you, depending on whether the game takes advantage of it. So World of Warcraft does take advantage of that. And it was really kind of cool to play World of Warcraft with a big panoramic view. Other than, it's not just the view that happens in World of Warcraft, right? There's your bags are over here with your inventory and your quest log. You have your character sheet. And those, for some inexplicable reason, are still locked to the left and right sides of your screen. Which means that for me to see what's in my bag, I have to turn all the way to the right and look over there to see what's in my bags. And if I'm looking on my character sheet to put on some loot, right, I have to look all the way over to the left where the character sheet is. Now, of course, the things that would be in your bag would be items you want to put on your character. So it's like you're playing this weird game. So what I'm doing now is I'm playing it in windowed mode at a different resolution so that it just takes up the center of the screen. So it does not quite as wide. That's working.
I'm not a gamer, and all I've used it for is to have, instead of having multiple monitors, to have everything on the same monitor. Plus, I think it's cooler looking than my old monitors that I had.
It is nice not to have a border.
So
I had three monitors in front of me before. Now it's replaced with one, which can split up into three sections. But the point is that there's no border between them. There's no gap between them. Whatever, the wallpaper is nice and panoramic. All that stuff. I'm enjoying the Samsung G9. There's one stuck pixel on it. And I'm debating on whether to send it back and get another one.
Oh, it's such a pain. It's so big.
I know. And that's kind of,
but yeah. Ooh, I'm glad mine doesn't have a stuck pixel. That would drive me nuts.
Stuck pixel is in the top left side. So it's not really in a central area. And so I'm just kind of, do I just live with it? I think I'm just going to live with it. It is very heavy, and it would be very difficult to put back into its original box and try to ship it. Of course,
I've basically already had to do that because I ordered the wrong monitor completely.
Right.
And had already taken out of the box before I realized it was the wrong monitor. I did get my refund on that though.
For $30 off, you could keep it. So I've been watching that, and this leads me to the next thing. So I don't know if you've watched movies on it or TVs on it or anything like that. So there are certain shows.
I don't know. YouTube, maybe. I've watched YouTube, but not full screen.
So there are certain shows that film at an aspect ratio that makes them wider than you would be able to see on your standard television, because you know those shows because they have black bars at the bottom and the top, right? So they're filmed a little bit wider than the screen, you know, than your 16:9 thing. So this will handle those quite nicely. So I was watching The Good Fight on Paramount Plus. And because it is filmed that way, so it's filmed wider than 16:9. So it, you know, comes up wider on the monitor. It's quite nice. It's a very nice experience to watch it on the wider monitor. But I noticed something, and I want to know if this is the Mandela effect or whether this is, I was thinking about what the words say, whether this is the Mandela effect or whether I'm just misremembering. When they first introduced the skip intro button on Netflix, you know what I'm talking about? Skip intro. You're watching.
I know what you're talking about.
Binge watching a series on Netflix.
The thing I hate the most, and I'm sorry to change the topic, but where it says, "Are you still watching?"
Yes.
And then you have to click a button and the remote's halfway across the room and you're trying to run across the room to find the remote so that it doesn't stop playing. Oh, I hate that.
Your life.
Anyway,
is,
yeah, the skip button.
Your life is so difficult.
First world problems.
I don't even know what I'm going to say now.
Skip intro button on Netflix. That is what you were talking about.
So when it first introduced itself, probably five or six years ago, you would watch a TV show, you know, binge watching something on Netflix or on Prime, whatever. And those theme songs would just start to grate on you because you're watching them one right after the other. And it's like, oh my God, like Game of Thrones was the most insufferable fucking intro. If you're trying to binge watch Game of Thrones, you ain't got time for an 8-minute intro. Okay. With all the little spinny bits and whatever. So when the skip intro button came along, I was just like, hallelujah, this is great. And I seem to recall that when you press it, it would go to the end of the into the opening credits and start the show. Like it was, maybe you saw the last little second of the intro, but then, you know, fade to black and then starts the show. I remembered in my mind that it used to work really well.
Okay. Well, I you're going to ask some very detailed question about it.
No, I'm just saying.
Skip buttons.
Do you remember that it used to work well?
Yeah, I don't know that it doesn't work well now. What problem were you having
absolutely
with it?
Doesn't.
Was it not?
So when you watch The Good Fight, first of all, The Good Fight is one of those sneaky shows that doesn't do their big intro credit right at the beginning. Sometimes it's 10 minutes into the show before they do their opening credits. But every single time they have a skip intro button. When you press that skip intro, you still get 35 seconds of the fucking intro where they have the producer's names and the executive producer names and the directed by. And I'm just like, these motherfuckers are now just like, go ahead.
I may have the answer to your question. I just realized The Good Fight, you were watching The Good Fight, right?
Yes.
The Good Fight is not on Netflix.
No, I know. It's on Paramount Plus.
You said Netflix.
It doesn't matter. Or Amazon Prime. Any of the streaming services.
Yeah, but they're all slightly different. It's not like they all handle it exactly the same.
I don't know on Paramount Plus. I remembered them all working correctly.
On Amazon Prime, I will get two skip buttons.
Oh, yeah. One for their fucking ad that they shoved down your
throat. One for one thing at the beginning and then one for something else. And so I know they handle it slightly different. But I don't know Paramount Plus.
All I'm saying is I hate this. I hate it with a fucking passion. They do it on all the Star Treks on Paramount Plus. They do it with The Good Fight. It's like one of those. If I skip the intro, I have no interest. No interest in who made the episode. I don't care.
Well, okay. Cyclone in the chat room says, does Adam think each network does their own closed captioning too? No, Cyclone. But obviously, each network builds their own interface. They build their own skip intro button. That is
I don't think they did. No, I think the original skip intro was probably done by Netflix themselves or by Prime Video. Like, in other words, they had people.
Right, but it's in their app. It's in the Netflix app. Yes. It's not Paramount Plus can't use Netflix's skip button.
No, I understand. Oh my God.
It's not like closed captioning. Closed captioning is different.
Forget I ever said the fucking word Netflix. I'm talking about streaming services as a whole. No. All of these streaming services.
I was fondling to Cyclone in the chat room. He said it's the same as closed captioning, or does Adam think, because closed captioning is done by a centralized service generally. And I'm saying, no, I don't think that. Each company builds their own app.
Okay,
so they all build
streaming,
their own skip
I'm not
button.
Talking about. I'm talking about the shows. Shows that used to be on one streaming service and are now on another streaming service. My point is why? What is the point? Unless they have some kind of fucking back end deal with the people that they're streaming the content for.
And I don't know how it tells what's the beginning and end of the intro. Either.
It would be a is human just, being. A human being would watch the show one time and go, "Yes, that's where we're going to stop."
Well,
right
maybe
there.
Maybe shows get to mark their own. Maybe there's some metadata that they put in the file that says, "Here's the intro, beginning and end," and they can decide.
It doesn't matter. All right, let me make this even simpler. It doesn't matter why I fucking hate it. That's all I'm trying to say. I fucking hate it.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. You know, that sounds like less of a problem than my "are you still watching" problem where I have to get up and walk across the room. Mine seems more inconvenient. I don't know.
No, I have to watch stupid, or I have to use that shitty Apple TV remote and like try to skip ahead frame by frame and it never does it right.
I mean, don't you have a butler or something that can skip for you and you can turn your head as he's, you know, skipping the intro?
I do not.
Cyclone says Congress needs to act on this now.
Yes.
They do. They need to put a bill before.
No, I need to start one of those petitions, one of those government, you know, what is that, whitehouse.gov petitions that after 10,000 signatures, they have to comment on it.
If you torrent them, you could cut the intros out yourself and then watch them, binge them on Plex.
In order for me to cut the intro out, I'd have to watch the intro to see where it ends.
Well, not really. You can see it in Premiere. You can just see where the, you know, whatever.
Cut those out. Just re-render the whole thing. That'll take a half hour per episode.
Yeah, re-render each episode and then watch each one.
Trivial.
Yeah, you can do that.
Trivial. I think I talked a little bit. I don't know if I talked about it on the show or on Level 13 last week. That I had a whole bunch of blood tests done, and so I had to get my primary care doctor involved and whatever. So I had to go see my primary care doctor this past week, 8 o'clock in the morning, stupid early. And so I went over.
Are you going to live?
Yeah, I'm going to live. Okay. So I went over to the doctor's office, and I had to fill them in on the whole eye stuff with the moods and the whatnot, and that, you know, I had a blood test and they need to do an additional blood test before they can determine whether something else, and can I get that done here? And he's like, okay, yes, you can get that done here. That's fine. One of his, what do you call it? The physician's assistant, the one that leads you back and then, you know, asks you a few questions and then, you know, goes over whatever before the doctor.
Well, I don't know. There's a physician's assistant. There's a nurse practitioner.
Well, I mean, no. Well, a nurse practitioner would be the person you'd see. This is the person that does the pre stuff before the doctor comes in.
It's a nurse that does that pre stuff as well.
I'm pretty sure it's a nurse. Yeah. Anyway, she said, oh, I see you haven't done your colon cancer screening yet. Because I don't know if you know this, Adam, but once you turn 50, you're supposed to get your butt checked for cancer.
And you're like, oh, my butt's checked all the time. No need.
It's like, no, I'm just really bad at following up on making appointments and stuff like that. That's all. And she's like, oh, you should try the Cologuard stuff. They'll just send it to your house and you just, you can send it right back. And I was like, why didn't he mention that the first? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do that. Let's do that. So now they're sending me.
You mean they send a butt webcam to your house and you take images of your own rectum or whatever your own intestinal tract, or is it just some, you know, is there some new thing where you just scoop out some poo?
You think that, oh no, here, let me play the commercial here for you, Adam.
I'm over 45. I realize I'm no spring chicken.
I know what's right for me. I got a plan to which I'm sticking.
My doc wrote me the script. Box came by mail, showed up on Friday.
I screened with Cologuard and did it my way.
Cologuard is a one-of-a-kind way to screen for colon cancer that's effective and non-invasive. It's for people 45 plus at average risk, not high risk. False positive and negative results may occur. Ask your provider for Cologuard.
I did it my way.
So it's a box. They send you a box. And you basically...
Do they send you a spoon?
No, you just... at your normal time that you have a bowel movement and you use your toilet paper, you put the toilet paper in the box.
I don't want to get too gross, but we all know you take the fiber, so you have rock hard poo. So I don't know. You may have to go through some extra steps to...
I don't know. It's the
finger
alternative.
Finger paint with it on the card they send you or whatever.
The alternative to it is to get a colonoscopy, which the thing that I don't like about the colonoscopy is you can't eat for 24 hours. You got to drink like 2 gallons of this fucking laxative stuff so that you're completely cleaned out down there. And that's just, it seems like such a, pardon the it's just such a pain in the ass. It's like, I don't, that the laxative stuff doesn't taste good. Also, Gary, did you use Cologuard? Gary in the chat room is saying that his stunk before he swabbed.
It sunk, not stunk. Well, it might have stunk as well, but it sunk.
I thought he said stunk. Does it say sunk?
He was trying to.
You know, I am going to the doctor for eye problems. Anyway,
I know.
Here's the problem. All right, let me finish my story. So I was there at the doctor's office. They have phlebotomists there to take your blood. And so he was like, okay, Let's go get your blood taken. And it turns out they had a wait. So the lady said, we'll go wait back out in the waiting room and we'll call you when we're ready. So I forgot to mention, when I got there at stupid early in the morning and checked in and sat down. They
early, I'm sure, because you like to be early for everything.
Yes, I was early. They immediately took me back. Like they, I sat down in the waiting room. I wasn't there for more than a minute or two before they, you know, Mr. Brewer, and you know, I went back. So I'm sitting back out there, and the door keeps opening, and they keep calling people, you know, for a minute or so. But I noticed they're using their first names now, so they're just like, you know, Catherine or you know, Stephen. Or, you know, whatever. So the lady opens the door and she says, Diane.
Now, like on Cheers?
She, yeah, Diane. But she had a really Southern accent. And I couldn't tell if she was saying Dan in a Southern accent.
Diane?
Diane? So I stood up and went, right? And she's like, and she looks at me, she's like going, Diane? And I'm like, Daniel. And she's like, Diane.
You should have been like, don't judge me. My pronouns are she, her. Thank you very much.
Diane?
So it ended up, Diane got your colonoscopy. Yeah. You got her mammogram. You're all like switched up.
I am all switched up, man. Being old is expensive. No, I don't know about my blood. My blood test hasn't come back yet, so I don't know about that. Or it might have. I didn't go to the patient portal today to see if there were, you know, results. But it doesn't matter because if the results are positive, then I just have to go to another doctor. And if the results are negative, then I guess I do a different treatment for my eyes. I don't know.
Because you were talking about last week, and I don't know if it was on the after show or on the thing, but you said it could be some type of infection.
Yes, bacterial infection.
But they seem to be so laid back about it. Like, oh, go in like 5 days and take a test. This bacteria could be eating your ocular nerve endings something right now. All they need to do is give you some, if there's a hint that it might be an infection, I would just give you all the antibiotics.
Just all of them.
Just give it to you.
Instead of a Z-Pack, it's like the A to Z-Pack. Do you have the A to Z-Pack? You know, the one with all of the antibiotics in it?
Because just to be safe, I mean, maybe they don't do that nowadays because of antibiotic resistance or whatever.
That's
maybe
right.
They really want to be absolutely certain. But I don't know. I mean, it seems so laid back. Like, oh, go see this one. Well, now if this is positive, which the test results are not going to come back for a couple of days, then we'll send you to a different doctor.
Now, in fairness, I've already heard from the new doctor, the new specialist, but they can't, excuse me, I had to burp. They can't make my appointment until like the second week in January. So I knew that it wasn't.
It's like, oh, even if it's a bacterial infection, it'll be fine. I mean, you'll lose another 10% of your sight between now and then, but it's no big deal. Like, no big deal.
No big deal. You know, I do a podcast, Adam. I don't need to see. I don't need to.
3, 2, 1. Contact is the secret. Is the moment when everything happens. Contact is the answer. Is the reason that everything happens. Contact. Let's make contact.
Excellent. It is the contact segment of this show. This is the segment of the show where we read your emails, play your voicemails. Adam, do we have any emails this week?
Well, we had a couple, but they're not really to be read on the show. One person asking to join level 13.
Oh, did you answer? Because I didn't.
No, but it was just today at 6:08 p.m. Oh, okay. So we can answer during the after show or something. Yes. Paul and Tony, poor Tony, is having trouble getting level 13 episodes again.
Oh, I just haven't posted. My God, Tony's like a fucking taskmaster here.
I mean, he really wants some level 13. Yeah.
Was it Tony? It's just like, it chill out, oh, dude. I'm going to, I'm going to post them when I post them. Paul.
I unsubscribed from level 13 at some point. I don't even know why I did. And so I don't know when you're posting them anymore. Wow. So, but that was it. That was it.
Let's listen to our first phone call here, shall we?
Hello. Okay. the world famous soccer player, or football player if you're British.
Yeah.
Dead. Dead.
How old was he?
Dead.
Dead at?
Pele.
Dead at?
I don't know. Do you Americans, you even know who this is?
Yes, I know who Pele is.
Because I guess you only follow Gridiron. Anyway, it's a Scotty Aussie battler. Dead. $1 for me. Thank you.
No, not $1 for you. $1 in the pot.
The darling of Brazilian football, no less.
Was he that old? Oh, Cyclone is saying 82 in the chat room. I don't know.
Oh, look at these goals. It's amazing.
Goals? What, like eat a healthy breakfast?
The only male soccer
did they even have soccer that long
World
ago?
Cups.
In 1882?
No, he's 82. He died at age 82.
No, I mean, I remember Pele from...
He wasn't playing soccer at age 82. He would have been playing soccer 50 years ago or something. Yeah. 55 years ago.
I remember as a kid seeing Pele posters, so yeah.
Oh,
he would have been. He would have been in his 30s.
I must have him confused with a more recent soccer player because I was thinking he was more recent.
No. Let's go to our next phone call, shall we?
Holy crap. Vivian Westwood, fashion designer.
Yeah.
Died.
Huh?
Dead, age 81. Died in a Clapham home in London.
Yeah.
Wow.
Vivian Westwood.
That's sad. Okay, this is Scotty Rossi Butler. Bye.
Now, hold on. I knew about Pele, and I know of a couple other ones. I've not, and Vivian Westwood is a person I would recognize. Are we sure?
Well, I'm taking his word for it.
No, I'm saying, can we do a little bit of research here? Vivian Westwood, did she die?
Kathy Marshall in the chat room is saying that yes, indeed, she died.
Vivian Westwood died, December 29th, yesterday. Oh, I guess Pele ate all her press because I didn't hear about her. Okay.
I guess so.
Yeah, Vivian Westwood. Wow. Everybody's trying to sneak it in by the end of the year. It's just like, there's only a week left. Let me just get it here.
Scott, Northern California.
Hi, Scott.
Pele. Dead.
Yes.
Woodhaven.
Yes. Woodhaven. Yes, Scott in Northern California. That is correct. You get Pele and what's the word I'm saying? We don't add a dollar to the pot. You just get your name put into the... I don't know. I don't know how the rules work. How do you the rules of this contest work?
What do you mean? If you're the first to call in, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't
but
matter.
The first person that calls in, we add a dollar to the pot.
Correct.
And then we still give everyone else who calls an entry, but we don't add another dollar.
Right. There's no benefit to you to be the first to call other than it'll increase the overall pot by a dollar. But you don't get the dollar.
It used to be that you didn't get an entry unless you were the first caller.
We only did the first caller. But now we do everyone. Everyone gets an entry, but we only give a dollar for the first time a celebrity dies. Or that is reported.
The first time a celebrity dies?
Yes. Oh, like Jesus. Like we're...
I mean, I don't know. If they died twice, we might give $2.
Right, Jesus. I mean, he died once, and you know, if he dies again, then we'll increase it by a dollar. Here's our next phone call, Adam.
Hi, guys. Scott from Northern California.
Yes.
Wow, that was embarrassing. I just called the wrong number and left a death notice. So, just happened, I heard... Barbara Walters dead at 93. Happy New Year.
Happy Whatever. New Year's, yeah. I want to know what phone number
he did you
called.
Play that out of order?
No, that was... I don't think so. That was number
how,
four.
How many had you...
That was number four. Number four, yeah, that was phone call number four. Anyway, Scott in Scott in Northern California. Yes, Barbara Walters. Legendary newswoman Barbara Walters died this evening, Adam. Like just before the show, just.
Did you see that I added a 6 and an 8 at the bottom?
It did. Yeah, I am. I see a 6.
But you weren't playing one of those.
No, I see a 6 and a 7. I don't see an 8.
Oh, I changed it. Yeah. You're good. Sorry.
And it's a 7 is not .mp3. It's just 7. So who knows what program it'll try to do with that. Let's get to our next phone call. For those of you keeping track at home, this is 5.mp3. Yes.
Hey, Adam and Daniel, I'm waiting for a little show to start.
Yeah,
I got word on my phone, and I have not confirmed it, that Barbara Walters, the ABC TV personality.
Legendary.
Has just died at 93. Anyway, yes. I don't know if you'll play it tonight, but that's Barbara Walters is dead.
Barbara Walters is dead. Adam, if you could be any kind of coffin, what kind of coffin would you be?
You mean coffin like people are buried in?
Yeah. You know, like a walnut or an elm. Would you be like a cedar?
Would you be I don't know if they make it out of this, but I would either be maple.
Yeah.
Or there's a really pretty African wood that's a reddish color that I can't remember the name of. One of those two.
Okay. An African redwood that you don't know the name of.
Or, yeah. I can't remember the name.
Or walnut. Did you say walnut?
Or maple.
Maple. I don't know what that says about you, but that was Barbara Walters' big go-to question. Like, if you could be any kind
of
tree.
Or a butcher block. A butcher block. Butcher block coffin.
Hi, guys. This is Brian from Wichita.
Hi, Brian.
Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters.
Dead at 93.
Yes.
That's Barbara Walters, dead at 93.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Reporting from the celebrity deaf phone.
Too soon.
I am Barbara Walters.
Are you Barbara Walters or are you Bugs Bunny or whoever it was that
Gilda Radner that did that? Yes, let's see who else.
Hi guys, it's Brian from Wichita.
Wait, that was six, right? Yeah. So we'd already played.
Hi, Adam and Daniel.
Yeah. All right. So that was now we're on number seven. Here we go, Adam. This is the final final phone call. Correct.
I usually like to respect your guys' lives, but yeah, what's going on? How come there's not a show?
What do you mean?
I need something to fall asleep to.
What are you talking about? There's a show.
Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters, legendary.
It's so funny. Woman. It's not funny that she's dead, but it's funny because I just Googled her about 3 or 4 days ago. Recently. I just Googled her because I was wondering if she was still alive. But anyways, Barbara Walters, dead.
Nope.
Super old.
Nope.
Kind of old. 93.
Oh, because so she...
I was like... 40. And Bacon Woodhaven.
The rules clearly state that you cannot be responsible for the celebrity dying.
Oh, that's nice. Cyclone in the chat room. I don't know why I always say in the chat room, but I guess everyone who's listening, I just want them to know it's someone in the chat room.
Yes.
Producer Cyclone is saying there's a local company that puts you into decorative stones to be handed out to friends and family.
They can skip.
Those are kind of cute.
If you skip one of those stones across the pond, are you basically in violation of like putting ashes in public waterways?
Can you not put ashes in public waterways?
No, you cannot.
Are you sure? I've seen television shows where they go put them out in the ocean or in lakes or wherever.
If you want to put your ashes in the ocean, you have to go a mile offshore to do it. You, like a gambling, because like you have to go past the country. Like you have to be in international waters. You have to be in international waters to do it. They actually have here in Florida. They have cruises. For that, like a day cruise that will take you out so that you can dump your ashes and they play sad music or whatever.
Oh,
what a
bummer that cruise must be. You get on that cruise, you don't realize it. And there are all these mourning wives and stuff with urns and they're crying. And you just thought you were going to have a sunset cruise with a mimosa, you know? Actually, there's a scene on White Lotus. Did you ever watch? Have you watched White Lotus?
I watched season one, but I didn't.
Yeah,
but
in season one, she's.
Imagine? Go ahead.
Season one, she wants to take her husband's ashes out.
It's not in the ocean.
And out of spite, the hotel manager put the young couple on the same boat.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, it'll be so romantic. Anyway.
I remember that. And then. But it's like, you imagine you're like heading, because like we've been in port on a cruise ship before, and there's always one of these boats going by, like a little party boat going by, right? With like the top deck has like dance lights and a DJ going.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Come on, shake your body, baby. Do that conga. Don't you control yourself any longer. As we commit Adam's ashes to the sea.
Zach is throwing up in a bucket next to me. Yeah. And then the 13-year-old that you think is an adult is behind us.
Hey, baby. Can I get you a rum runner?
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are our
And then his mother says, you know, he's a wrestler. He can dump the ashes for you. He's very strong.
Yes, my 13-year-old child is very strong. Look at all those muscles on him. He's very, very strong.
3, 2, 1.
Jesus Christ. I don't believe in hell, but I do believe I'm going there. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
Okay, yeah. Well, it really doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. Once you're there, you'll know, you know? I don't know.
I had this thing this week where I was listening to another podcast. I'm not going to mention any names, Archer, but I was listening to this podcast and they were talking about being on Twitter and how they said they weren't going to be on Twitter, but they just got to go back to Twitter. And it got me to thinking, because this was during one of my runs, and it got me to thinking, you know what? If you are still on Twitter and supporting Elon Musk, you and there's an and here. If you are still on Twitter, if you're one of those people who's like, I don't care. I like Twitter. I got to be there. It's just, I got to be there. And I don't care that he's like, you know, a misogynistic, homophobic motherfucker. It doesn't matter. I got to be there. And you were also one of those people that used to always call in or email this show when Adam said anything about eating at Chick-fil-A, and you were incensed. You were absolutely fucking incensed that Adam would eat at Chick-fil-A. Then fuck you, you hypocrite. It's just like, I was just thinking like all these people.
I appreciate you defending me, and I don't want to defend my detractors, but their argument would probably be that I don't think Elon has ever been openly homophobic or given money to anti-LGBT charities that we know of. So that would probably be their argument.
I kind of predicted you were going to say that. So I wanted to go ahead and just, you know, get right into that. He actually has tweeted like hundreds of transphobic and problematic things, as well as misogyny. He literally got into a misogynistic fight with Elizabeth Warren on Twitter at one point in time. He's said openly that pronouns suck. He's compared Justin Trudeau to Hitler. He's saying that U.S. government shouldn't provide subsidies to company, even though SpaceX receives billions in subsidies from the U.S. government. Do you not remember him calling the dude that was the British cave diver that was trying to rescue the trap football team couple of years ago?
I don't know.
Yeah, he basically called him a pedo guy. He's just
okay. It's like, well, okay. So yes, all of that. But there's some official LGBT we've got to ban Chick-fil-A. Apparently Elon hasn't made that list yet, but
it's stupid and it's whatever. My point is, if you're on Twitter, you're supporting this idiot. And for what? For what?
Well, I mean, just honestly, if you shop anywhere, you're supporting someone that doesn't like
gay
people.
Don't get all high and mighty. If you're on Twitter, then you're there to support Elon Musk, period. There's no other way. He's the only owner of the company. So congratulations.
Oh, well, does Archer hate Chick-fil-A? I don't remember him being one of the ones that gave me a hard time, but.
No, he wasn't. I wasn't. I'm just saying I heard on Archer's where he was just talking about he was trying to quit Twitter.
Archer, but this wasn't directed directly at you.
He just couldn't quit Twitter. Say that. Try saying that.
Couldn't quit Twitter.
I'm Bob Watas. As I died this evening, I am trying to quit Twitter. I can't do
she
that.
She quit Twitter, Daniel. She did. She's gone.
Possibly. You mentioned on your award-winning podcast this week, your award-winning podcast, The Geeky Gay, that you watched Strange World from Disney and that you liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was cute. I mean, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is the best animated movie I've ever seen or anything like that, but it was... Yeah. It was perfectly acceptable. It was an enjoyable movie to watch.
I enjoyed it.
Openly gay guy, which is that the first Disney or Pixar that has had an openly gay character?
Yes, it is. And I think there's people that are like, oh, woke Disney, whatever. They were on a different planet. So it wasn't like, this wasn't America. This wasn't Earth that they were from. So the whole, I think the time that I tensed up, that you probably also tensed up, was when his grandfather said, "Are you seeing, you know, do you have a, you know, a special someone?"
Oh, I thought there, I thought there was going to be some discussion
and
there.
And he's just like going, "Yes." And his name is, well, I forget his name. His name is so-and-so and he's so awesome. And then his grandfather was just like, "Well, here's how you catch a guy." You know, it's like, "Here's how you get a guy," and you blah, blah, blah. And it was like, it was just a totally normal thing. Nobody had a hang up on this. This was just a totally normal thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, that would never happen. And then I'm thinking, wait, no, this isn't America. This isn't Earth. This is another planet that has human beings on it. You know, whatever. We don't know what language they're speaking, whatever. They're from Avalonia, which turns out to be, you know, I don't want to spoil the movie, but it turns out to be something completed. It's not, they're not on Earth.
I thought it was related. When I saw the end, and again, I don't want to spoil anything either, but when I saw the end, I thought of, there's an author that writes book, or maybe he's dead now. I don't know, but
probably
there's Barbara, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Yeah. He's going to share a coffin with her actually. Yeah. So
what kind of coffin? A butcher block coffin. Anyway,
I wonder if they make those. I like a butcher block. You know, it gives a little variety.
I think, you know, with enough planning, you can get a coffin made out of anything. The other movie that I heard on your list, and I almost texted you, but I was busy running, so I didn't text you. You mentioned that you wanted, that Pinocchio was on your list. Is that the Tom Hanks Pinocchio?
Pinocchio, no, it's I don't know if it's Tom Hanks. It's the director. It's the it's Guillermo del Toro or whoever.
On what service?
Netflix.
Oh no, it's not. Okay, I was gonna say, if it's the Tom Hanks Pinocchio on Disney Plus, God no, that's a horrible show, horrible movie.
It's gotten good Rotten Tomato score, but I'll say, I did not. You can't always go by the Rotten Tomato score.
No, you can't.
Because Everything Everywhere All at Once. Oh.
You know what? No.
Horrible.
No, stop right there. Not horrible. You're wrong. We're not going to. Let's talk about that in the after show, because I've got something to say. Put it up on the board there. Put it over on the show topics board there. We'll talk about it in the after show. I just wanted to say that I also like Strange World. We liked it a lot. I think. The reason it did so badly at the box office is because they never promoted this film. Like, I didn't know this film existed until they were reporting about how badly it was doing at the box office.
Yeah, there was like no marketing. We discussed that before. Yeah. I don't know if it was on this show, but we've discussed it.
All right, then I'm fine. We'll move on then. Let's move on. Jesus Christ. Someone's in a hurry.
News game. It's the news game. It's the news game. What questions will he ask?
It is the Mix Minus News Game. This is a segment of the show where Adam will read me five questions from the New York Times news quiz, and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will answer the questions. These are multiple choice questions. I don't have to get the choices read to me. I'll try to answer them without hearing them, is what I'm trying to say. But I'm always free to ask for the choices. Adam, what is the first question this evening on the old news quiz? Oh, the very last news quiz of 2022.
Now, I'll just say that they've been doing summary quizzes for the past 2 weeks for the year. So this is not just for the week.
All right. Five questions from throughout 2022.
Yeah, and there are 25 questions on this thing, and I have not looked at it ahead of time because I was driving all day.
Now, remember, Adam, we use a filter on this show. So if you need to just be silent, I'll shut up, and the filter will take it out.
What do you mean?
If you wanted to pre-read the question and make sure it's on.
Oh, right.
I see. I'll be quiet.
Well, I wouldn't have to. That's true. Number one, Russia invaded Ukraine in February, and the war has stretched across much of the country. What are the names of the Ukrainian cities? Oh, God.
Oh, no, please.
Okay, wait, let me just, let me go to the next one. No, that doesn't count. I thought I had pre-read it. Okay, I don't want to do that one either. Okay. The war contributed to the largest number of people around the globe displaced by a conflict since World War II. How many Ukrainians have fled to other European countries so far?
A lot. What are my choices?
Okay. 20,000, 500,000, 2 million, 5 million, or 7 million?
I'm going to go big here, Adam. I'm going to say 5 million.
It's 7 million. Seven million.
I was like, I knew it's high, but I don't think it's the highest that they're going to offer. Damn you, New York Times.
Consumer prices increased 7.1% in the year through November. I was trying to do one that wasn't so political.
That's two. I got two correct, one wrong so far.
Prices for regular unleaded gas were a symbol of inflation for much of the year. According to AAA, the nationwide average peaked in mid-June at what price per gallon?
Probably in the high fours. What are my choices?
373, 404, 429, 501, and 548.
I don't think it made it to 501, but I think it was higher than the four. So I'm going with 501.
Like the jeans?
Yeah, just like the jeans, baby.
That is correct, Daniel. Sweet. U.S. gas prices peaked at just over $5 a gallon in mid-June. Queen Elizabeth II, Britain's longest reigning monarch, died this year at age 96.
Yes, she did.
15 prime ministers served under her.
Name them.
Who was prime minister when she ascended to the throne?
Oh, it was, excuse me, it was Winston Churchill.
Okay, so you don't want choices. You just want to go
with
Churchill.
I saw the movie. I mean, the Netflix show, The Queen or whatever. Yeah, it was Winston Churchill, played by John Lithgow.
All right, number four.
Yes.
The House January 6th committee's hearings drew millions of viewers. Which witness testified that during the Capitol attack, Donald Trump had tried to grab the steering wheel of the presidential limousine?
Because
he had wanted to join the rioters.
Yeah, she was the executive assistant to Mark. What are the choices? I'll recognize her name, but
Mike Pence, no, Mark Meadows, no, Liz Cheney,
no,
Cash Patel,
no,
or Cassidy Hutchinson.
Cassidy Hutchinson. Cassidy. It was the only. All the rest of them are not. Real answers.
Number five.
So I've gotten what, three correct, one wrong?
Yes. What do the five highest grossing films of 2022 all have in common? The five highest grossing films of 2022.
What do they all have in
common? I'll give you choices.
Yes, give me choices. They're not all animated.
They were all distributed by Disney.
No.
They all star Tom Cruise. They all have an R rating. They all debuted on streaming platforms. Or they all are sequels.
I mean, I guess Top Gun Maverick is a sequel. Technically, I didn't see it, but I mean, it's Tom Cruise playing the same character. So they're not including Avatar. Let's see. Black Panther 2 would have been one of them. Yeah, all right, I'm going to go with sequel, but I feel like you could say that about any year. I don't think that's exclusive to 2022. Sweet.
Correct. The five highest grossing films worldwide, Top Gun Maverick, Avatar The Way of Water, Jurassic World Dominion, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and Minions The Rise of Gru are all sequels.
Nice. All right, so I got 4 out of 5. That's really, really
4 out of 5.
That's really, really good. But now we go into the bonus round where Adam's going to take a Trivial Pursuit card and read the questions, and then in 60 seconds, I'm going to answer as many as I can. Let's put 60 seconds up on the New Year clock. Go.
Oh, what three U.S. states have the most electoral votes in presidential elections?
What, three?
Three.
Florida, California, New York.
California, New York, and Texas. What movie has Jeff Goldblum noting, "They throw a great party for you on the one day they know you can't enjoy it"? What movie did he say that in?
Jeff Goldblum movie?
Yes.
Thor Ragnarok.
The Big Chill. What Civil War general graduated first in the West Point class of 1829?
Jackson.
Robert E. Lee. What's a charged atom with unequal numbers of electrons and protons?
A neutron?
An ion.
Wait. Five,
who
four,
offered
three,
insurance against
two,
an accidental
one.
Death caused by a falling Sputnik? I wasn't prepared for that countdown. There was
I know.
No, the game begins in three.
I just,
two,
it said happy.
One.
It said happy new year. You know, it was a 2023 New Year's countdown. I thought it was going to work out better. You know, that's what happens, Adam, when you improv on this
you
show.
You got zero, Daniel.
I got
you
zero,
got...
but it's okay, Adam, because I got 4 out of 5 on the actual news quiz. So that means that, still, ending the year with a B, that's not bad.
I mean, barely. That would be 80%.
You know what? Very wise professor once told me, you know what? When they look at your transcripts, they don't know that it was a 90 or a 99 or a 100. It's like an A is an A, baby. And in this case, B is a B. I don't know why I did that. That was the wrong thing to do. I am unprepared for this segment. Please stand by. I need to do this. So sorry, Daniel.
Happy Bacon Day.
Really?
Gather around the frying pan, everybody, because National Bacon Day is December 30th, and it's enough to make any bacon lover squeal.
Oh, my God. You know, I don't think people know what you're doing, Adam. What you're doing is you're reading from the voluminous piles of content that are sent to us each and every single week by our executive producer, Cyclone. And this is just tireless research that he conducts about things that happen on the day that we are recording of some other year. So these are all things from the Mix Minus Research Center Archives and Test Kitchen. And you're correct, Adam. It is National Bacon Day. No matter what you do, bacon is greasy, delicious, and the most beautiful thing we've ever seen strip. Let me say... You know what? Do you like Jim Gaffigan, the comedian Jim Gaffigan?
I think so. The name sounds familiar.
He has this little line that I love. He's like, bacon is the only food that applauds when you cook it. It's like...
Oh, very good. Some facts about bacon. During World War II, the U.S. government urged citizens to donate their excess bacon fat to the army. The fat was used to make bombs. The average American consumes 18 pounds of bacon a year.
Adam, stop. Stop right there. Stop the music. All right. Adam, let me ask you this. This is outside of anything. I need to know this. I desperately need to know this. And when I say this, all right, let me ask you the question. The question is, what is the best way to cook bacon? Now, before you answer, when I say this, I mean...
Why did you have to turn the music off for that?
Adam, this is very serious. It's very, very serious. Like, if we had serious music, I'd be playing serious music right now. Here's the question, Adam. It's like, what's the best way to cook bacon? And when I say that, I don't mean, like, the easiest way to cook it or the way that you usually cook it or whatever. Like, if you're going to go all out and you want to make the best bacon that you could possibly make, what is the best way to cook bacon?
Well, you're going to disagree with me no matter what I select, because I'm sure I'm going to select the wrong thing. I don't know what the best is, because I haven't cooked bacon a million different ways. However, what I have the most success with is in the oven. But I don't think that's what you're going to say. But that is what I have the best success with, is the oven.
I also...
It's set it and forget it, you know?
I also cook my bacon. Normally, I cook my bacon in the oven.
Okay.
Put it on the pan. But that is not the best way to cook bacon. If I was going to make bacon for a special occasion, you cook it in a frying pan in water. Now,
okay, yeah, I've heard of that.
So, and there's tons of YouTube videos about this, whatever, but you cook it in what, and I didn't believe them, and so I tried it myself. Like, the number one mistake that people make when they cook bacon on the stove is that they have a really hot pan, like a cast iron that's been preheated or whatever, really hot pan, whatever. And then they throw the streaks of bacon in there and it comes out like shit. And that's because bacon can't, you can't fast cook it, right? You got to start low and build to the heat. You can't.
Is it like a duck breast where, you know how a duck breast, you need to start it in a cold pan because you want to render the fat?
Yeah, exactly. Because streaky bacon, as we have here in America, is mainly fat. So you want to, you know.
I wonder if you were doing pork belly that way, if you would also start that in a cold pan.
So if you put water in the pan, just enough water to cover the bacon. So you put the bacon in the pan, you cover the bacon, yeah. just barely cover the, you know, bacon's what? An eighth of an inch thick, whatever. So you're just putting like an eighth of an inch of water on the bottom of that pan and you cook the bacon on medium heat and then you, you wait for it. And as it starts to cook, the water keeps the bacon from getting getting too hot. But it also, it adds this, it's like kind of the water boiling, like shoots steam through the bacon as it's cooking. And for whatever reason, once the water is evaporated, you end up with the crispiest, snappiest little pieces of bacon. They're delicious. They're kind of like...
Oh, I love crispy. I really want my bacon to be crispy, but not hard.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Is achieved by... Like tomorrow, take your new Creuset pan. What is it? The Le Creuset pan?
Le Creuset.
Le Creuset. Yeah.
Le Creuset. I think it's French, so it's Le Creuset.
Did he use your Amazon link? Because that's like a $900 pan right there.
I don't know what he used. He might have gone directly to their website. I have no idea, but it matches my other one.
Custom made for you? Like, do you have your own... All right. You know what? Let's go back to the... we were in the middle of this segment. Let's go back to this.
There is a church in Las Vegas called the United Church of Bacon. The exact antithesis of Fat Camp in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You can go to a camp with activities entirely curated around bacon.
There you go.
And bacon was included in the first meal eaten on the moon.
Sweet. On this day in 1965, the New York Post ran an article about illegal tactics used by police to harass gays. It's the only time that the New York Post ever had a decent article. On December 30th, 1980, the Selective Service System, in the midst of reminding 18-year-olds to register for the draft, sent a warning to Mickey Mouse at Disneyland in Anaheim, California. The Selective Service says that Mickey is in violation of registration compliance. Isn't that weird that you were still having to like register in 1980?
So, wait, you don't have to register now?
I don't. I only turned 18 once.
I had to register when I turned 18.
Do you
I mean,
still?
That was...
Okay, yeah, you still did. That's one of those things. Like you do it, and you never think about it.
You had to go to the post office.
You never think about it.
Whatever.
Also, on this day in the history, That's stupid. Oh, in 1916, Rasputin was murdered.
I recognize the name, but I don't know who that is.
He's a self-proclaimed holy man. He's a Siberian-born muzhik, or peasant, who underwent a religious conversion as a teenager and proclaimed himself a healer with the ability to predict the future. That's probably where you knew him from. It's like,
for some reason, I was thinking Rasputin was a fictional character, like somebody from Robin Hood or something. You know, the villain on Robin Hood, Rasputin. Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of what was in my head.
Maybe you're thinking about the Great Mouse Detective, and it was Rat-sputin. Anyway... On December 30th, in 1965, Ferdinand Marcos was inaugurated as the president of the Philippines.
And I believe his son is now president, if I'm not mistaken.
He was for a long time, and then he was ousted out of power. But yes, he did just re-win the election. Wasn't that the thing that Mark was upset about?
Yeah, he was. I know he was elected, but I don't know when they get sworn in. You know, like here, November, but they don't get sworn in until January, so.
On December 30th, 2006, Saddam Hussein was executed. Let me check my math there. That is part of the, that was during the Obama administration. Okay.
It was, yeah.
Just wanted to check. You know what, Adam? If you want real news, you got to go to a real news source. And that real news source is the most heavily researched news on the planet. It's the Weekly World News. This is from the December 30th, 1997 edition. 8 earth-shattering predictions by Jesus Christ himself. Are you yawning?
No, this is an audio show. There's no need for you to...
How can you yawn when we're about to find out?
It was just a natural body thing, you know?
I am no longer interested in...
Fire from heaven will banish all sin on earth, Daniel.
I'm no longer interested in Jesus, Adam. I've gone to the newest craze down a few pages, Naked Handyman Service. There are topless bars, topless donut shops, topless restaurants, and now something just for the ladies. Bottomless handymen.
Wait a minute. Why is that just for the ladies, Weekly World News? Also, that's dangerous. You know, swinging a saw and a hammer around with you, you know, with your
swinging your Johnson out.
Yeah, I don't want that.
You don't want to do that. You might nail the wrong wood.
Exactly.
Unless something else jumps out at you, we'll just move on to this.
Do they say, are you happy to see me, or is that just your screwdriver?
Many people had birthday on December 30th. We'd like to say happy birthday to some of them today. Oh my God, I just saw the pictures. Our executive producer likes to put shirtless pictures of people randomly on this page. Happy birthday, Justin Combs. You've turned 28. You're the son of Sean Diddy Combs. So he's P. Diddy's son. Happy birthday, Ryan Sheckler, American pro skateboarder and entrepreneur. He's very attractive. This is the one that I got very upset about. Oh, Matt Lauer. Yeah, I want to see a shirtless picture of Matt Lauer. Thank you, Cyclone. I appreciate that.
I bet there's one of him in leather.
Turned 64. And James Burrows turned 81. Let's see. Heidi Fleiss turned 56. Tracy Ullman turned 62. I don't see anyone else that I'm just jumping out at me right now.
Hey, Daniel, turn down the birthday song for a second.
Why?
Because on someday in whatever, a movie was number one in the box office.
What are you doing?
I don't know if you're going to hear this, but... you skipped it.
I know. I've been skipping it because I feel like go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know if you're going to hear this, but hopefully you will. Oh, no, I'm not hearing it either.
All right. First of all, you're supposed to go to the ones in yellow, not the ones in blue. But that would be Aladdin, Adam. That was the theme song to Aladdin.
Correct, Daniel. Correct. Okay, now you can keep going.
I don't know how to recover from this. All right. We have a piano player here, Adam. I just can't. I mean, I made him stop. Meredith Vieira turned 68. Sandy Koufax turned 86. I don't know who any of these other people are. But by the way, born on this day that are no longer with us, Davy Jones, Michael Nesmith. Oh my God.
Oh, Davy Jones. The cutest monkey was Davy Jones.
But look at that. Two of the monkeys were born on the same day. Davy Jones and Michael Nesmith were both born on December 30th. Wow. And Rudyard Kipling. From all of us here at the mix, to all of you there. Actually, he's mixed minus. That's fine. Happy birthday!
I feel like Michael Nesmith was the least cute of the monkeys.
That is because you were wrong. Clearly, the most attractive monkey... Hold on. Clearly, the most attractive monkey was Peter Tork.
Davy Jones.
Peter...
Oh, no.
Peter Tork.
Davy Jones.
Peter Tork. And the next most attractive monkey... No. I would say this is my order. Peter Tork, Davy Jones, Mike Nesmith, because no, Mickey Dolenz is just a tragedy. As that's, it's just like a, no, you don't, Mickey Dolenz is like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you can tell it's like he's uncut and he is not clean. It's like he smells. He is not Mickey Dolenz for me. So
I really like uncut.
Yeah, but not unclean, uncut. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Clean, unclean, whatever.
Wow. And you laughed at me for getting a cheese tray on this cruise ship? Anyway, here's the question. Now that, see, I said that line because it was such a disgusting joke that I'm sure that Mel, aka I'm a librarian, has stopped listening. Sorry, I had to get a beer.
Maybe so.
I had to get a beer.
Maybe she had. Sorry, I was mute. I was thinking.
Stop listening. But here's the thing.
We don't have any more bumpers. We're done with bumpers. I was waiting for some bumper for some other.
No, we're done. But I want to direct your attention over to the Level 13 chat room where she says over there, I would love to connect with Kaylee, history minor, and about to launch my cookbook podcast. So remember Kaylee called in to our show. So I'm a librarian, wants to connect with Kaylee. And they're talking about...
Well, Kaylee should be in the Discord because Kaylee joined Level 13. Right. So
okay. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I was looking on Mastodon the other day, you know, because I don't use Twitter. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't use Twitter. I was looking at Mastodon. And... I'm a librarian tweeted out about trying to start an internet radio station for librarians. No, I don't know if you saw this.
No, I did not see that.
I have to find the tweet right now.
Because I can tell I am a librarian how to start an internet radio station.
No, but this is the thing that got me about it. She said it was going to be $50 a month to start this this internet. And I'm like, wait, what? I thought, unless things have significantly changed, the how do you find someone? I'm trying to find her on Mastodon so that I can...
I don't know. You're the Mastodon expert.
I know. That's so sad. Oh, there we go. I found her. Okay. Let's see. Copyright status, super late notice. Can I keep myself... Was she... toots a lot. She's a tutor, man. She is a serial tutor on the anyway, here's the thing that I wanted to say. First of all, if you want to start an internet radio station for librarians, I feel like $50 a month is way high. Like what do we pay for our streamer?
I mean, I'm not a good judge. You can get it depends on what you're doing. If you host your own. And I know we're not going to answer the entire question.
Yeah.
But if there's some service who does it, and I don't know who you might be. I can't remember the name of the service who used to do radio stations.
Yeah.
But they services like that might be that high if they include other stuff like music or like a interface that you can use to, you know, whatever. If it's one of those, like
Here it is. I had an idea of having an internet radio station for our library. That fell through, though. Wouldn't it be cool to do for librarians around the world? It just costs money. $50 a month with ads, $70 a month without. So
yeah, you don't have to. I mean, but it depends on how technical she wants to be, because that's a service that everything is all bundled together, and they have the interface and all that. If you want to host your own, you are going to need to pay for some sort of server, which means you're going to have to pay and then you're going to have to set it all up. There's software you can use, but you're going to have to set it all up. So it's cheaper, but you have to know more. But so it depends on what you want to do. But either is possible. And I can walk her through the setting up of things because I do the Pride 48 stream.
Yeah, you can set up an Icecast server. There are hosting out there that will host the streaming server as well as pay the ASCAP fees, which are not that much. We looked at it before for Pride 48 to do copyrighted music on it, whatever. First of all, nobody scans internet radio stations looking for copyright violations, right? But I understand.
Yeah, don't want to do a library.
No. I understand. If you're tying it to a company. But what I'm trying to say is on Pride 48, the reason we decided not to do it was because we just decided that it was easier to ask.
Well, it's people. A lot of tracking. You have to, I mean, because we're hosting ourselves and you have to report all the songs.
No, but I'm
that
saying
you
the service that we could have moved to that would have let us do music, whatever, they'll do all the tracking and everything. As long as you're tagging your music, right?
Yeah. Anyway, bottom line is,
options. It was only like $20 a month.
You can find cheaper options.
Way cheaper.
If you wanna host your own, I can also show you how to do that if you want help going that way. So you know where to reach us.
I'm just saying $50 a month. Crazy. Also, like, what would a librarian radio station sound like? Like, if what would
wouldn't
you
just
think?
Be? Wouldn't it just be like shh, I don't know if that's going to be, the noise removal. If it's going to take that out, I'm shushing. Shush.
You're listening. Shush. You're listening to Hush Radio. This is the radio station by librarians for librarians. And now I'm looking for some music. And now let's listen to the ethereal sounds of the knowledge verse. I do believe we do have that book, sir. Yes. Have you tried looking in the 600 section?
You're listening to 97.5, the Dewey Decimal.
I'm just saying, I want to know, what is a librarian...
Maybe we'll find out. Maybe, I mean, she's going to start one. Maybe we'll find out.
I feel like I'm a librarian. It's about to start her own podcast, like within the next few weeks. She also said on Mastodon that she was going to launch it in January, and she was posting it just to keep herself honest.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. You know, lots of famous podcasters have been inspired by me and then gone on to be, you know, to be celebrities in the podcasting universe. So
it's true.
Who knows?
It's true.
You know what? I don't know that she was inspired by me. So I don't want to just assume that. So forget I said that part, but you know,
it's a cooking podcast, which I feel like that is dangerously close to stealing the bit that you and Joe Batanz do.
Our show is not a cooking show.
It's Throwing Down with Adam Burns is just like Bobby Flay, except you guys match up each week with a recipe and you both try to outcook each other. And, you know,
I do try to take a nicer photo than he does, but he's getting so good at taking photos that,
he's just going of online. His food you do realize he's just going online and finding.
No, that I think that is actual food. You can see Betty Batanz in the background. You can see actual proof.
You never heard of Photoshop? I could put Betty Batanz in the background on my phone. Look, here's Betty Batanz at Disney World with Zach and me. That was last week. Anyway, Adam, I think that was it. I think that's all that we had.
Usually you just start the music. Like,
I just feel like, did we need to say anything? This is the last show of the year. Thank you guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone. We will talk to you again in 2023. But
you know what we should do? I don't make New Year's resolutions, but I think what we should do is each come up with 3 to 5 items that we want to do better, change, whatever in 2023. Not for the show, just for ourselves.
Just for ourselves. Yeah. Keep each other honest.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great. We can do that next week. If you'd like to email us, you can do so. Our email address is contact@mixminuspodcast.com. You can also call us. Our voicemail line 707-61-DEATH. DEATH, or you can use the newfangled smartphone and go to http://voicemail.mix-podcast.com and leave it there. Adam, we'll be back next week, and I hope you have a happy new year, you and Mark.
Yeah, you too. Number one, learn how to end a podcast.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.